Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure, as always. And I'm glad to have John Warlow back on the show, folks. John's been with us in the past, and he always has great things to offer us. John is the founder of Warlow Subscriber Network. That's an organization, folks, that, and I'm gonna say this in my terms, and I'll make sure John has an opportunity to correct me if I say anything wrong. It's, when I think of Warlow, I think of an organization that helps big businesses and small businesses work together more effectively on a lot of different levels. He's also the author of Drilling for Gold. He's also the author of How Corporations Can Successfully Market to Small Businesses. And he's our good friend, John Warlow. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. How did I do on my introduction of your company?
Well, you did great. The Warlow Subscriber Network is a consortium of 70 Fortune 500 companies, large enterprise companies, who subscribe to our research to help them go after small business. Because, you know, as the economy takes a bit of a downturn, large enterprise are laying off, large enterprise are having trouble, small business is the great hope. Small businesses are more nimble. And so big companies are really trying to understand, how do we go after small businesses? How do we put together a product or service that'll resonate with them? What are their needs? How do we service them? And so we do research with small business owners, and then we provide it back to these large enterprise organizations to help them do a better job of marketing to small business.
You know, John, I've been saying this on my show for a couple of months now. Wall Street has led us into this challenge.
Right.
Main Street, primarily small business, will lead us out of this challenge. What do you think?
I couldn't agree with you more. I could not agree with you more, partly because entrepreneurs are more nimble. It goes without saying, they're smaller and able to kind of adjust and look for little nooks and crannies that are available and opportunities that exist.
And we're not hidebound.
Exactly. You're not, you know, beholden to the street or any major, you know, investor.
We don't have any analysts breathing down our... We're not beholden to the darned analysts.
Exactly.
God save us. God save the marketplace from analysts, John. Am I
You're
wrong about that?
The first man to say that.
I mean, I wish CEOs would publicly traded companies would quit giving guidance, quarterly guidance. I just wish they'd quit. I wish they'd all. There's some don't, and I wish the rest of them would get the courage not to give guidance. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we've done research with small business owners, and we've identified that they fall into one of three psychographic profiles. We call them mountain climbers, freedom fighters, and craftspeople. Mountain climbers want to grow a business, and they're the first ones to bring in outside investors. They want to grow, and so they've got to bring in investors, and they're the ones who are beholden to outsiders. The freedom fighters are the group that I think are going to lead us out of this problem, and that is that they're motivated by independence, and so they choose not to have outside investors, and it's the freedom fighters who are the ones that are going to really
they are the most courageous because they and the most effective because they're actually if they stay in that category you're talking about, they have to be effective, and they're doing it without the outside money, which is really hard.
That's hard
to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's a core motivation we found in our research that about a third of small business owners, the primary motivation is not to make money. It's actually to remain independent, to have control over what they do and their time. About a third.
Well, I believe it, and I know those guys, and I may be one of those guys. but let's talk about some of the most recent research that you guys have been working on. One of the things that I've been reading a lot about, and I know you guys have been working on, is this social networking part, how social networking is changing the way people buy and sell, where they do business, the way they operate in the marketplace.
Jim, we call it the Facebook factor. And what we're seeing is that Facebook is really revolutionizing, I should say, the way small business owners are promoting themselves. In years gone by, you'd have a Yellow Pages ad, you'd speak at the Chamber of Commerce, and that's how you'd sort of get your message out there. Well, people are still doing that today, but they're complementing that with a Facebook presence, and so they're inviting their friends, which are actually their customers, to be linked to them. They're promoting all their specials and the various things that they're doing through this Facebook page. We found that through our research, 45% of small business owners in the United States are what we call web-centric.
That's the primary way they go to market.
It means that their website is a primary driver of their business, and that's up from 25% in 2005.
Wow.
Which is what's driving this massive adoption of things like Facebook and LinkedIn as another one of these social networks small businesses are using.
Right. Hold on to that thought, John. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Right back with John Warlow. I'm Jim Blasingame. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. A little Steely Dan for you coming back. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we got John Warlow with us. John's a good friend of ours, founder of Warlow Subscriber Network. He's also the author of Drilling for Gold. And we're talking about this whole social networking thing that's going on. And John, is it going to last? It's here to stay, isn't it?
I think it is. I think, with such a huge number of people using Facebook in their consumer lives, we forget that small business owners are also consumers, and then while it's working for them to keep in touch with their high school sweetheart or their friends that are outside of the city, that's starting to transcribe.
My wife won't let me keep in touch with my high school sweetheart.
She's a smart lady.
That's off limits. I can't do that.
But small business owners are starting to turn on to the fact that some of the same tools and functionality that is working in the consumer world can certainly help them grow their business. So we're seeing it. We're seeing it take off and really take shape.
What's the application? Where's the ROI for a small business on Facebook?
So a small business owner sets up a page, and then they are able to connect people that they are know in their lives, whether those are customers or stakeholders or friends, to that site, and when they have a sale or they have some news to share, they can promote that to their connected network, and they can also have those people share that information with others. LinkedIn is a somewhat different story, where LinkedIn works on the principle of six degrees of separation, where you link to your network and your network also has friends, and you're able to, through people that you know and trust, connect to those folks, so extending and broadening your network. Small business owners, as we know, always rely on word of mouth to make important buy decisions. They trust not necessarily other companies or governments. They trust other business owners like them. And so LinkedIn is providing a great way to extend and broaden small business owners' networks.
One of the things that I'm reading more and more about is a new face of advertising. And a friend of mine calls it post-advertising. And it's where you still go to market with a product, but part of your strategy is to focus on these communities. And so if you and I, John, are in other words, you and I may be the kind of people we don't necessarily want to, we may not pay attention to the traditional approaches to marketing, but once we get inside of our little communities where you and I are together and you see what I'm buying, you see what I'm allowing in, I see what you're allowing in, so to speak, into our community, people, companies that I think are valid, and you're in with the in crowd, so to speak, once you get into those little communities.
And the real magic.
What do you think about that?
Well, the real magic, I agree with you, Jim, and to take it one step further, the real magic takes place when, as a large enterprise organization, you're willing to open up the kimono a little bit to these guys and ask for feedback on the product through one of these online communities. So you can shape the next generation and have input. And that's where, business owners get involved and invested in the next generation of the product. The big companies are getting free market research. Intuit, the guys who make QuickBooks, do a great job of this.
Right.
They have QuickBooksGroup.com,
right.
and they encourage people to give feedback. And then they make that input and make changes to the product based on that. So
you have to be courageous, though, if you're going to do this, because you're sort of like trial lawyers will tell you, never ask a question of a witness if you're not prepared to deal with the answer.
Right. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You do have to be courageous. But really, increasingly, there is no other way. So you have to swallow hard and just bite the bullet because, business owners are going to communicate in this fashion with or without large enterprise because they've found
I read an article the other day, and I'm trying to remember the lady's name who wrote it, but it was in the Wall Street Journal about a month ago, and I apologize to her for this, for not removing the name right away, but the title of the article was The Ad Revolution, and I agree with what she's basically saying, what you and I are talking about, but where I disagree with her is I don't think it's going to be a revolution. I think it's going to be an issue. It is a real phenomenon. I think it's happening. I don't think it's going to revolutionize how we do business. I just think it's going to modify it. What do you think?
Well, let me give you a specific example. We did a survey among our members. These are large enterprise organizations, and we surveyed companies like IBM and Aflac and others, and we said, mm-hmm. how are you changing your media buying habits to reach small businesses? How are you allocating your dollars differently than you did last year? Are you still spending money on TV ads and newspaper ads? Or are you allocating your budget to other mediums?
Mm-hmm.
And 45% of the large enterprise, these Fortune 500 companies, 45% expect to spend more with Google next year than they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
They are spending on alternative mediums, i.e. search engine marketing,
right.
as a way to reach the small business market. Yahoo is benefiting from that. Google is benefiting from that. And so we're seeing a real major sea change in the way these large enterprise organizations are spending their dollars to reach small business.
Mm-hmm.
Which is changing. It's part of the ad revolution that you described.
It is. But now that wasn't what this person was talking about. She was talking about the communities that you're talking about, the social networking things. That's what she was talking about. There's no question that the marketing landscape has gotten much wider and much deeper, hasn't it?
It has. And again, we're increasingly seeing small business owners promote their business by using some of these mediums.
Right. And by the way, my crack team here has just informed me that the title of the article is The Coming Ad Revolution. It was in, I do remember it was February the 11th, because that's my daughter's birthday, Wall Street Journal, and the author is Esther Dyson. D-Y-S-O-N, by the way, folks. I like to give attribution whenever I can. Quick break, Tintail, right back with John Warlow. He's with the Warlow Subscriber Network. I'm Jim Black. Here's those three crazy guys from Texas, Billy, Dusty, and Frank. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Lexingame, the Small Business Advocate. Those are otherwise known, by the way, folks, those guys are ZZ Top, if you didn't know who I was talking about. We're back, and we're here with John Warlow. He's founder of Warlow Subscriber Network, and he's also the author of Drilling for Gold. John, tell us where your book's available. And you've told us a little bit about Warlow, but you can give us your website too, please.
You can go to Amazon.com. Our website is warlow.com. It's spelled WARRILLOW.com.
For my small business audience, what's in it for them when they go to your website?
I think they can sign up for our newsletter, and the newsletter will pump out research every week into what makes the small business owner tick, and they can benchmark themselves against other business owners. We put research out like the psychographics of small business owners, mountain climbers, church photos, craftspeople. We talk a lot about people using things like Facebook, and so although the site is really designed for large enterprise organizations marketing to small business, I think there's some interest there from small business owners who like to see how they compare with other business owners like them.
Right, right. So check that out, folks. Warlow, and that is with two R's and two L's.
It is.
Warlow.com, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's a tricky spelling, but you got it.
Not so bad. Now, when you got a name like Blasting Game, Warlow's not tricky at all.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What do you – let's talk just for a little bit about doing business with small businesses, doing big business with big companies.
Sure.
You know, I came up in the 20th century, John, when small businesses were mostly backwater mom and pops.
Right.
Today, small businesses are vertically integrated into every aspect of the marketplace. We're no longer mom and pops. There's so many small business owners who are just doing a great job. And I really am trying to get small business owners to realize that with the downsizing of big companies, with all the different things that are happening to major corporations, they not only want you to be one of their integrated partners, they must have you. They have no choice. Don't miss these opportunities. What do you think, John?
No, I agree. I agree completely. I mean, the trick, I think, is to be the world's best at something. And it doesn't have to be big. It has to be something.
Right.
AT&T, IBM, they have their choice of vendors. They're the biggest companies in the world. What you have to do is be the very best at something. And continue to winnow down your niche so that you can claim that you are the best at that very small niche. We're obviously at our heart, we're a research company, but we don't go out and tell big companies we do research. We say we have this very peculiar niche and we help Fortune 500 companies target small businesses. And that is such a peculiar niche that we believe we're the best in the world at doing that
right.
One tiny thing, which gets us in the door.
Well, the other thing that I think is important for them to think about, and I really want them to, take this word integrated to heart, because in the 20th century, we delivered our stuff to the big customers, and we dropped it off on their dock. And they signed for it, and we drove away. That's not going to work in the 21st century. You've got to take your stuff inside. They've got to say, okay, this little company's not only going to deliver to the dock, they're going to bring it inside and put it in the hands of my employees. Now, folks, this is all metaphorical, of course, but what I'm saying is don't just deliver your stuff and drop it off. Ask your customers, what are you doing with this? What could I do to help you be more effective with what I deliver? What do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, again, this is a great time in the economy to do this, because as big companies shrink, one of the first things they do is they slash payroll. And so there's more to do with less people. And so if you have something that you can do and get integrated into that large enterprise organization and offer something that a full-time employee was doing that you can do in a cheaper way or a more efficient way, today they're going to that message is going to resonate more than it did, say, 6 months ago.
And what I've learned is don't make them a proposal where they have to take some of their people to execute it. Make sure your proposal is a lock and key where you do everything for them. I think that's one of the best ways to get a contract. What do you think?
Yeah. No, agreed.
Because of what you said about the payroll issue.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to ask for multi-year contracts.
You know, large enterprise organizations don't want to be – they take such an enormous length of time to evaluate a vendor, get comfortable
right.
with a vendor, get trusted.
Yep.
That 1 year goes by very quickly, and I agree with you that 2-3 years is reasonable.
It's at least a 2-year agreement. Hey, John, give us that website one more time.
Warlow.com, WARRILLOW.com.
Thanks, John. Looking forward to our next visit. See you next
Thanks,
time.
Thanks, Jim.
Good job. Quick, got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.